Pastor Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
I apologize, I dress up like a lawyer. But this is the only time that we can wear this. In the Philippines, we don't because it's very hot. I mean, it's warm and you would collapse if you would wear this on Sunday. So every time we come over, we make use of the opportunity to enjoy, you know, this attire. And once again, let me express my appreciation and thanks for this church that you have been our partner through the years. It's been long, I don't remember anymore, but thank you very much for praying for us. As you all know, I have gone through a lot of battle with cancer, 2010 when I was diagnosed with it, and I've gone through about 14 sessions or round of sessions of chemo, which I don't like, I dislike, but I have no choice. The last time was last September when I was able to complete the whole 8, which is to me is already a blessing because the last time I had it, I wasn't able to finish the whole session. I was so sick, I thought that was it. And the Lord is gracious and merciful, and He gave me another opportunity. And last September, I completed the 8, and just being able to do it is already a blessing. Well, hopefully, the Lord will give me more years and of ministry, and I'm thankful to this church for your prayers, your friendship, your fellowship, and, of course, being a part of the ministry in the Philippines. I have some few pictures. This is not really a good PowerPoint presentation, but this is just something you might want to see. You know, after many years, this year I actually celebrated my 40 years as pastor of the church, and these are some of the things that the Lord has gave us out there back in the Philippines. Philippines, as we all understand, is a country of 7,100 islands. So this is just one of those 7,100 islands. You will get to see. This is the island. This is called Negros Island. We are in the city called San Carlos. It's a city of about 200,000 population. It's a small city, you know, in comparison to other cities in the Philippines. This is our mode of transportation. Still use the bicycle in our city. And, of course, the motorcycle. Very backward in some sense, but it helps us with our pollution problem. It's part of the city, and this is us. Of course, this is right after I completed my treatment. And the tribe, the family, we have 9 grandchildren already by the grace of God. And growing, counting, still counting. Some of the ministries that we are involved, of course, there is always the choir. And singing is a very vital part of the Filipino culture. We love to sing. That's why every time I come, I just enjoy the worship, the songs, and the singing. We love it. Some of our young people giving that. Some of the male young people, too. And these are my 2 grandsons, Zed and Caleb. Hoping and praying that the 2 would follow the footsteps of their grandfather. This is not the normal attendance. This is a special event. In our church where we get to have about 500 maybe on special occasion. And we thank God for the opportunity that we can reach out our city. The Philippines is still an open country. The gospel is very much accepted in a sense that we don't have restriction. You can go anywhere in the Philippines and just preach the gospel. Some of those services that we have in San Carlos. Soul winning is really a vital part of the ministry. We understand that this is an important aspect of the ministry wherever we are to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God that we have that opportunity to share the gospel. It's an open country. We can go anywhere and, you know, freely share the gospel. We have a ministry that we are not doing quite well regularly, the feeding ministry. One of the reasons for that is the financial aspect. But once in a while, if God has the provision, we try to feed children and use this as an opportunity to reach the parents. And we are praying that hopefully this will be a regular ministry that we can do in San Carlos. All we need is $100 a month, and we can have a weekly feeding program that we can do, reaching those children. Extension classes is a ministry where we go out on Saturdays. You can do it all year round because we don't have winter. So we go out and teach the children, not in this building, but outside of the building. And we thank God for that opportunity to do that. A typical Filipino house made of indigenous materials, nipa and bamboo. Of course, they're still hanging their clothes. That's how we still wash our clothes with our hands and hang it under the sun. So that's how primitive we are still, I think. That's my youngest son, who is now my associate pastor. We tried to let him, you know, 2010 when I was going through the battle, I thought that was it. So we were preparing him for the ministry and for the pastorate. And one day he will actually be taking over the work. This is a project that we've been praying about. The Lord has provided a land that we can extend our ministry. We're planning and praying for a multi-purpose building. We made a down payment for this land, which is about 680 square meters. I don't know how many in that in square foot, but we are praying that God will provide this need. And with this property, we can have a library, Sunday school buildings, a lot of things that we can use over there in the Philippines. So please be praying with us for God to provide this need. That's us, and be praying for us as we serve the Lord in the Philippines. But this year, which is the 40th year of the ministry, we are praying and expanding in other countries in Asia. We have a family who are missionaries in Laos. And my daughter and my son-in-law have been there for the last 8 or 10 years. And God is blessing the ministry over there. And we would appreciate if you would pray for them also. Well, thank you very much again, and it's always a joy to be able to come to Norwood Bible Church and really treasure the friendship of Brother Mark and Mom Laurie and, of course, the members of the church. And every time we come to Colorado, we don't want to miss Norwood, whatever it is. Whatever the schedule, we want to come, not only to renew fellowship, but we really love this church, and we love the people of God in this church. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm not used to preach two messages in one Sunday because we only have one service, especially so that when the people, some of the people are still there, and you don't get to see everything at first and the second, but hopefully we will get the message which is important this morning. Well, in the book of Haggai, please, if you have your Bible this morning, hopefully you have, in chapter 1. Now, Haggai has only two chapters. We can actually cover the whole thing in just one setting. But we will just concentrate on a few verses this morning, especially reminding ourselves about the lesson that this book is trying to teach us this morning. And you have to be listen very carefully because, you know, English is not our mother tongue. We speak 84 dialects, and in our island, we speak 2 dialects, and I get to speak another 1 or 2, so I speak only 4 out of 84. Of course, plus English, that makes it 5. So once in a while, you might hear some words that you don't understand. Don't worry about it. It's either Greek, Hebrew, or Cebuano. Cebuano is our native language. So, because the reason for that, I sometimes forget that I'm in a foreign land, so I might be talking something that I'm doing that in the Philippines. And the other reason for that, they said if you've gone through chemotherapy, you develop the so-called chemo brain, you know, some mental lapses, which I have noticed happened. And I hope that will not come to the point that I will forget my name and my wife. Hopefully that will not come this time, but be patient with me. Haggai chapter 1, please. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, unto Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but ye, there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag of with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege this morning to be able to come and be with God's people at Norwood and to fellowship with them and worship with them. And Lord, just want to thank you for their friendship and fellowship. And God, we just pray that thou will continue to work in our hearts, knowing, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose in our lives. You spared us. You save us first place, Lord. Show us your plan. And God, thank you that we know that you have a plan for our lives. Lord, God, we just praise and pray that this morning you'll speak to every heart. Help your servant, Lord. Help me to be, speak clearly. Help me to be understood. And Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to take control of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. This is the first time in our life that we are out of the country to celebrate Christmas. I know that this is an experience that maybe we'll never forget. The reason, it's very cold. Well, my daughter is the one who is really interested. This is her first time to come in the U.S., and she said, I want to see White Christmas. I'm not sure if she will see that, but she can enjoy the snow. We will stay in the room. I know this is not something we might enjoy, but we have many first times, like we experienced for the first time the Thanksgiving. In the Philippines, we don't have Thanksgiving Day. We normally have the last Sunday of the year as our Thanksgiving Day, which is not bad. But it's totally different over here. You always have that celebration. Someone told me that it is an annual event. It is a once-a-year event to remind us every day to be grateful to the Lord. And I think same thing with Christmas. It is an annual event that most of the people in the world celebrate to remind us that one day there was a Savior who came. There was a Savior who was born in Bethlehem. A Savior who died on the cross that we might be saved. And one of the things that I'm really very grateful to the Lord, that God saved me. You know, my wife and I always share this. I know I never get tired of sharing this, that my wife and I are product of missionary work. I got saved through the ministry of an American missionary who went to the Philippines for the first time as a soldier. He fought against the Japanese. His name is Elmer Goleon. He is from Greeley, Colorado. That's why Colorado is very memorable to me. In fact, at one time, we went to the church. It's a 150-year-old church, and they still have the record of the family of that missionary. But the Goleon went to the Philippines as a soldier. He fought against the Japanese. And after the war, he came back to the U.S., and actually prepared himself, and he went back to the Philippines, this time no longer as a soldier of the United States Army or Air Force, whatever that was. he went back as a soldier of the cross. He went to the island of Mindanao, where I came from. And that island is known all over the world because that's where the Muslim terrorists are actually. And Brother Golion, being a soldier, he did not fear anything. He went there, and one of those people that really he touched was my family. I was a young man then when I was introduced to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had religion, but I have no hope. I have never read the Bible. It was the first time when he came and he showed us the Word of God and told us about our real condition, that we are sinners and in need of a Savior. And thank God that the Lord used him. And to make the story short, God called me to the ministry. I was trained under the ministry of American missionary Steele, who went to the Philippines, and God called me to the island of Negros. My wife was 14-year-old girl when a missionary from Memphis, Tennessee, shared to her the gospel. And I think that missionary never in his life thought that one day the little girl that was confronted with the gospel would become a pastor's wife and would bear 3 children who are all married to preachers and a son who is now a pastor. So much to be grateful to the Lord. So when I went through the challenge of cancer, I would be honest. I will not tell you that I rejoice, although the Bible said rejoice. No, I did not for a while. But eventually I realized that God uses experiences in life and even sickness, affliction, and cancer to make us aware of what is really God is doing in our life. And he spared us with that. But don't you know, last November 25, we almost died in the U.S., almost, very close. It was a close call. We were in a town called Mount Vernon. I was on the way, it was Sunday, on a church to preach. And the pastor's wife was driving the car. My wife and my daughter was with us. And behind us were 3 or 4 or 5 cars. We're slowing down because of the traffic ahead of us. There was a 10-wheeler truck behind us who was running 75 miles per hour. For whatever reason, he does not know that we were stopping. He rammed into these cars, and that afternoon, 2 people died. And the car actually passed our way and missed us by an inch, almost. You know, we don't have plans to die in Texas. And I think God either has no plan that we will die here. What I'm simply saying is we have so much to be grateful to the Lord. Of course, the best is the salvation that we have, the life that God has given us, the opportunities. With more reason, if you are an American, with so much blessing that God has given you. You know, people don't understand how some people in other parts of the world have to face a challenge every day. The Philippines is trying to develop, but still a third world country. But tell you what, the greatest blessing we have is not just the Americans helping us with finances or whatever. I think the greatest blessing we have is when American missionaries went there and shared to us the Word of God. And we're so thankful to that. The book of Haggai is a book that reminds us about commitment. The book of Haggai is, to me, is a book that reminds us that there was a time when Christian life was exciting, but as we travel along the way, something can happen. And you know, you have seen that. I have seen that in my Christian life. I have seen that to so many people. Haggai is the book that reminds the people of God about their commitment. If you're going to look back about the historical background of the book, Haggai was written when after the people of God who were in bondage in Babylon for 70 years, if you still understand that, remember that. They were there for 70 years. And after 70 years, you know, God, who is in control and sovereign, he knows what he's doing. All of a sudden, Cyrus the king, you know, just like what happened to your country. I don't have to elaborate on that. that something happened. I still believe that God is in control of history. He is the God who knows everything. And sometimes we thought that, you know, something is wrong. Yes, we are living in a world of sin and fallen nature. Right now, I'm grieving for some people who are going through some, you know, sickness and death. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why these things happen? Well, I'm glad that God knows everything. So when Cyrus ascended to power, everything changed. He was sympathetic to the cause of the Jewish people. He allowed them to go back to their homeland. Maybe some of them stayed, but there were, well, this is what I have not found it in the Bible, but some Bible historians told us that there were about 50,000 Jewish people who came from the tribe of Judah who actually went back to Jerusalem with one mission and purpose, to rebuild the temple. The temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, by the Babylonian. God is going to rebuild it. And these people who were excited, I'm sure it was very exciting. Coming home to their homeland after 70 years can be very exciting. And I think it was also emotional. Maybe some of these were young people. Maybe they were born in Babylon and they heard stories about their homeland. So they were eager and they were excited to come home and to see. But more than that, it was not only emotional. It was not only some kind of excitement. The motivation was there. But I believe that it was spiritual because they're going to do something that is very close to God, the temple of God. They're going on a mission to do something that is very important to God's people. Because as long as the temple is there, God's people are there. When the temple was destroyed, the people of God are scattered. As we said, so was the temple, so was the people of God. The same thing with us. You know, I always believe that our love and our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and our commitment to the church is very important in a Christian life. I cannot imagine a churchless Christian. You know, you hear some people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I cannot understand that. How could you be a Christian and not be a part of a church? The Lord Jesus Christ established the church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But more than that, the church is the place where God's people come together for worship and fellowship. And you know, we always enjoy the song, the singing, the special number, the teaching of the Word of God. And these are all purposely given because God wants us to grow in our Christian life. So he wants us to understand his plan and his purpose, and that's why he gave us the word. So they were on a mission. It was exciting. They were motivated. The temple, which was considered a national shrine, was a spiritual indicator of God's blessing. It was very important to every Jew. God provided, as always, the logistics or the tools. So there were people that he used, Zerubbabel, who was the governor then, Joshua, the priest, to take care of their spiritual need, Zerubbabel to take care of their, you know, the civil need, so to speak. People were motivated. The work began. After 2 years, the foundation was laid. They were ready to build the temple. But something happened. Suddenly, unexpectedly, the work stopped. They lose interest. Their focus was no longer there. They were distracted. They were sidetracked, as the American used to say, they were chasing the rabbit. At first, I don't understand that what that is. But anyway, I use it anyway. You will understand. I don't. So they were chasing the rabbit. They were distracted. The most important thing that they were motivated to do, they were excited about it, suddenly come to an end. We don't understand why. They were supposed to be doing that, but suddenly it stopped. Some Bible commentators try to help us to understand some of the physical reason why the sudden death of King Cyrus was a factor. Remember, Cyrus was very sympathetic to the cause of the Jewish people, and suddenly he died. You know, it happens all the time. Like Isaiah of old, remember Isaiah chapter 6? You know, the king Uzziah was a friend of the prophet. He was expecting too much from the king because he loves the people of God. He was a friend of the prophet, you know. And suddenly, Uzziah got sick of leprosy. And eventually, he died. But it was the time when Uzziah died that the prophet saw the Lord. And, you know, something happens in our life that sometimes we don't understand. But God has a bigger picture. He has a reason for doing it. When I got the cancer, I don't understand why. I said I was living a healthy life. I thought I was. I was trying to be, you know, I had the feeling of entitlement. I thought that being a preacher, you don't get cancer. I was wrong. When I was going through the treatment, the lady beside me is my doctor. She too has a cancer. I was about to tell her, why are you doctors getting sick and getting cancer? I shut my mouth because I'm sure she will tell me, why are you preachers are getting sick and getting cancer? That's the greater issue. So I just, but I understand, realize things like this can happen to anyone. We're not immune. This is a world of sickness and pain and suffering. But God has always a plan. He knows what he's doing. So when the work was stopped, I'm sure it was discouraging to Zerubbabel because they were the leaders. You know, as a leader, having been a pastor for 40 years, you understand what I'm talking about. You desire the growth of God's people. You pray for them. You gave your life. You try to help them. Then all of a sudden, something can be wrong. So I believe Zerubbabel and Joshua, the priest, they were upset, they were discouraged maybe, because what happened, in the next 16 years, the temple was standing there in ruins. Nothing was moving. Nothing was in progress. That does not mean that they were not doing anything, because they were doing something. They were building their houses. They were beautifying their homes. The Bible told us they were living in a sealed house. They are using the most expensive. This verse, as I understand it, is talking about people spending money for luxury. They're spending the resources to beautify their homes. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with beautifying homes. There's nothing wrong with having a home. I believe we have to have a house. I mean, I cannot imagine being homeless this time of the year. You know, I have a friend that we're staying with. He said, Brother Eddie, I'm sad. I said, why? Do you think every time winter comes, you're sad? You know, no, that's not the point. I'm sad for people who are homeless. Because you don't know. Because in the Philippines, we don't have winter, so we don't worry. We can just, you know. But over here, I know it's a great struggle. So when you begin to think about how God has been good to us. We have a home. We have a heater. We can be warm. But think about people this morning. They don't have a house. I don't know where they are. I don't know. But I'm sure it's a really struggle. You know, it's very funny for us because we are not used to this kind of weather. So we tried to wear, tell you what, 6 layers of clothing. We have under and under 6 layers of, to the point that when my wife walks, he walks like a robot, you know, getting heavy. I can understand her. Somebody gave me a jacket that's very heavy. That I said, I don't like this. But this is just what it is, to protect us. And there, but Eddie, you know, you cannot do this. You have to protect yourself. You get sick here. What I'm saying, my friend, this morning is, after 16 years, that the temple was standing there, you know, in ruin, there were factors that contributed to it. The death of Cyrus, the king, then the ascension of another king who was not sympathetic to the Jewish cause. Either he was the son or the grandson, he was a ruthless leader. He was first enemy of God's people. Not to mention the Samaritans who were threatened by the coming of the Jewish people. He said, oh, they're coming and they're going to rebuild the temple and they're going to, control us. So there were several factors that contributed, maybe. But there was one thing I believe is the nail of the coffin, so to speak. I think they were not only losing their focus. I think they were not only sidetracked. I think they were not only indifferent and they were lethargic and apathetic. I believe there was something more devastating than all those things, and that was materialism. I think the sealed houses speak of materialism. They were more concerned about themselves. They were more concerned about their comfort. They were more concerned about what they want and what they need. And you know, this is not only true in America. This is also true in the Philippines. When Christians are beginning to be blessed by the Lord, they forget the one who blessed them. The priorities change. They used to be on a mission, and now they are out of the mission. They used to be focused on what God really wants them in their life, but now they lost that focus. And I think this is true to all of us. Materialism is not only in America, it is everywhere. In Laos, the poorest country in the world, where our daughter and son-in-law is serving as missionaries, it is a communist country, the country of Buddhism, animism as the religion. But my son-in-law said, these three are already big challenges for them. But he said the greatest challenge was materialism. China is pouring out all things. Thailand and the Laotians are beginning to enjoy the material things. And sometimes it's hard to get them just to hear the gospel. My friend, this morning, let us just remind ourselves. God bless us. God has blessed you. God has blessed us in some ways. But let us always remember that every time God blesses us, He uses this blessing to keep us closer to Him, not to keep us, you know, farther from Him. But sometimes it works the other way around. So here we go. These three things affected their concern. God sent Haggai because the two leaders failed. So Haggai was the man. He was sent by God. We don't know much about him. The only thing we know that he has only 4 months of ministry. The 16 years of Zerubbabel and Joshua were fruitless in the sense that they themselves are beginning to be discouraged. And here comes Haggai, the man of God. Here comes Haggai who was preaching the word of God. And here comes Haggai to remind them of their priorities. Here comes Haggai to even rebuke them of their lethargy and of their misplaced priorities. 4 months of ministry, thank God, he was able to encourage them. You know, we need Haggais in our life. That's one of the reasons that we need to be in the house of God. This is one of the reasons that we need to have a pastor, a teaching pastor, to tell us the word of God. We cannot be a lone ranger. No Christian could be an island, so to speak. No man is an island. You will never grow in your Christian life apart from the ministry of the man of God and the church of God. You cannot just do it alone. You need the prayer of God's people. I always say this, and I've said this again and again, that the hope of this country is not in the White House. Do you have a president? The hope of this country is not in the courthouse, though you're expecting a new justices. I believe that the hope of America is in the house of God. This is where God's people who will, you know, begin to pray and ask God's intervention. And we have seen that all the time. You have a history in this nation that God showed up in times of critical moment in your history. And he did it in my life, in the lives of God's people. God showed up. You know, I still think about the disciples. There was a time when they were doubting, the two disciples from Emmaus Road and even Thomas. And guess what happened? He showed up. There was a time when they were afraid. They were hiding themselves because they were afraid of the enemies. Look what happened. He showed up. And there was a time when Peter, who tried to do some foolish decision to leave the ministry for whatever reason, Jesus Christ early in the morning showed up. Thank God that when we have a need, when we are afraid, when we are in doubt, when we are about to leave or do something, forgive the word stupid. I have a friend in Bishan, said, we don't use that word here, Brother Eddie. Oh, I said, I'm sorry. We use the letter S. I said, what is letter S? Stupid. Okay. Well, anyway, we do some things like that. But praise God, when we are down, the Lord shows up. He is that kind of God that we believe, we worship. He does not abandon us. You know, 16 years was long to be away from God. But God is always merciful and gracious. And he sent Haggai. And God's people were motivated once again. And they started the work once again. And praise God, the temple was completed. Oh, I praise God for that. He is gracious. Consider your ways. Isaiah, the prophet said, in other words, he was saying, evaluate your life. Come to think about it. What is important to you, time or eternity? What is important to you, the souls of men or your own self? What is really important to us as Christians? You know, we understand God saved us for a reason and purpose. We are not just saved to go to heaven. If he could have done that right away after we got saved, we die and go to heaven. But he left us on this world to see the pain and suffering, part of it, but to glorify his name. And we can do that in many ways. God established the church so we can be an instrument in reaching the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe this morning that the greatest investment that we can do in this life is to invest this life for the cause of Christ, to give our life to serve him. And that was the intention then to start with, but they were, you know, they lost that focus. They were distracted. But thank God that there was a prophet. Thank God that he gave us a chance to evaluate our ways. He said, evaluate. Is it worth? Is it worth to be spending all this for ourselves, knowing that one day we die and we don't carry anything? I was in Texas with a friend. He showed me, Brother Eddie, all this is owned by this one family, very wealthy. But he does not give anything to the cause of Christ. But you know, one day he will die and he will not bring anything. You know, as we think about it, our life, there is no promise of tomorrow that we don't get sick. I have a friend right now in California who was healthy. He's doing good. But last month, he was surprised when the doctor said that you have cancer and your cancer is advancing stage 4. In fact, that's the uncle of my daughter, the uncle of the husband. I thought everything was going well with him. We thought that something, but we don't know. It's only by the grace of God. So my friend, this morning, I just want to thank God that it is never too late to renew our commitment. Never too late. You might be saying this morning, I messed up. Well, I did too in my life. I did not live a perfect life. I have some ups and downs. I have some things that I struggle with. I messed up. But I thank God that he is always faithful. When we come to the end of the road, and when we thought that's hopeless, there is always hope. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We pray that you help us even this morning to realize and understand that we are on a mission. Life on earth is a mission. You have a purpose and plan. Lord, although you bless us with material things, help us to understand that God, eternity should be the priority of our life. Lord, please continue to help us. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. So much.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. On we have an opportunity to hopefully help him out in their work. On your way out, if you'd like to leave an offering and a plate that's on that table back there, maybe, I don't know, are there a couple plates there, Trevor? Maybe we can put one in the center table. And if you want to write a check to Norwood Bible Church and mark it for Pastor Eddie, we will write a check to him. If you want to put some money in an envelope and another chair back in front of you and put it in the plate as you leave, we will make sure that he gets every penny. Please pray for him and the work that he is doing and their church is doing and the various ways that they're reaching people for Christ. And thank God for challenging us today. And it's easy to get distracted. Easy to get distracted. Let's keep focused on Jesus this week. Amen? Let's look for opportunities. Pray for opportunities to share Jesus Christ with the people around us. God, if you ask him, I can almost guarantee it. You ask him, bring somebody across my path that I can share the hope of Jesus with. He'll do that. Maybe multiple people. Let's do the best that we can to just stay focused on him and praying that God will use us to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Love you. Thank you for being here. Have a great day. God bless you.